Hi, everybody, and welcome to Stories from the Midlife Crisis Dance Party. My name is Ray Serebrin, and I am the host of the Midlife Crisis Dance Party radio program on KPTZ in Port Townsend. The following is one of our story time segments that we present each week. I hope you enjoy it.
Ah, you're just in time for a story.
When the sky is dark and the moon aglow and the morning...
Yes, that's our theme song for the story time segment of the Midlife Crisis Dance Party. And this week, we offer you a social history, a thoughtful piece of history, the rise of the McFlatulence Burger. The McFlatulence Burger began blowing away the competition in 1966. At first, it was a small town phenomenon, but soon it swept the nation like a tempestuous whirlwind. And you might ask, and I think it's a reasonable question, to what do we attribute its amazing success? Why was the McFlatulence Burger such an amazing success? Well, it was just after the big war is when it first came on. And in the USA, the women who had been running the war at home and keeping the home fires burning greeted their returning warriors from Europe and from the Orient. Now, I don't know what those returning vets expected, but if they expected a lifetime of elaborate and time-consuming multi-course gourmet meals, they were wrong. Newly independent women didn't want to slave over a hot stove all day. They wanted convenience. And the man had learned many lessons at war, but one thing they had not forgotten was that if their wives were not happy, they would not be happy. So they wanted what the women wanted. And if that was convenience, then they wanted that too. And both the men and the women also wanted to return to some sort of generalized normalcy and to a predictable life after the chaos of war. The McFlatulence model provided convenience, efficiency, and predictability. And so American families were happy to turn over their food choices to a large corporation that would lay out simple possibilities for them. They could be assured that every McFlatulence burger was freeze-dried, blow-dried, and re-dried to perfection each and every time. So the McFlatulence Burger came in on a great gust of post-war confidence and picked up speed, blasting at gale force through all of the competition. In fact, that it was so popular, it picked up imitators. Soon, the buying public could have their choice of McFlatulence Burgers, Dave's Hot and Juicy Burger, which sounds, I'm sure, by design, slightly pornographic. The Whopper Burger, according to Webster's Dictionary, by the way, a Whopper is an extravagant or monstrous lie. And its twin sister, the Whipper Burger, which is a burger in stiletto heels that whips you while you eat it. There was even the Diabetes Burger at the Fat Burger chain, and there was the Angry Clown Burger at the Jackass in the Box restaurant. Now, why am I telling you the story of the windy spread of the McFlatulence Burger? Well, first, because they call the wind Mariah. Second, because that little man in my head told me to. And finally, because it is a clever excuse to introduce you to a genre of what may loosely be called the great fables of fast food, otherwise known as burger chain lore. Much of this stuff falls into the category of urban legend. Some of it is true, and some of it is untrue. I will let you be the judge. For example, there is a story about someone finding a finger appearing in a cup of Wendy's chili. Have you heard about that one? Well, it's true. Customer Anna Ayala found a finger in her chili at the San Jose Wendy's in 2005. But in a shocking discovery, we find out that Ayala was the one who put it there. She and her boyfriend pleaded guilty in 2006 to planting the finger as part of an extortion scheme and were sentenced to prison terms. One question remains, whose finger was it? I cannot say, but if you run into a man who is one finger short living in San Jose, you will know. Here's another bit of fast food lore. On the 28th of November 2000, a breaded deep-fried chicken head was reportedly found in a box of chicken wings purchased at the McDonald's in Newport News, Virginia. Catherine Ortega said she discovered the McNoggin while divvying up the wings at home for her family of four. Fried chicken wings were apparently being test marketed in that area. Chicken heads with wings instead of ears were, it appears, a slight variation. Another Chicken Little story comes to us via that always authoritative source, the Internet. This story claims that Kentucky Fried Chicken, which is the old name of the company, voluntarily changed their name to KFC to conceal a government-mandated name change, a government-mandated name change, after the organisms used by the chain as a source of meat could no longer be considered chickens. It goes on to allege that the genetically modified birds have no beaks, feet, or feathers. They are it protein birds. We have no independent confirmation of this rumor. And finally, for my favorite burger chain lore story, this one needs no confirmation because it is really true. In early 2007, Jack in the Box began a new commercial campaign suggesting that their burgers were of higher quality than their rivals. In May of 2007, the parent company of Carl's Jr. and Hardee's Burgers filed a lawsuit against Jack in the Box, claiming, among other things, that their commercials tried to give the impression that Carl's Jr.'s and Hardee's Angus beef burgers contained cow anuses. Their suit says they did that by having an actor swirl his finger in the air in a circle while saying Angus in one commercial and having other people in the second commercial laugh when the word Angus was mentioned. So, does Angus really mean anus? The case was settled out of court. This is true. Who could make that up, really? In conclusion, my friends, I suggest that all of us become vegetarians or macrobiotic pescatarians or proletarian unpasteurized sproutarians or even veterinarians or perhaps Rastafarians or Hungarians. Anything is better than the prospect of eating Whoppers, Whippers, Whoopie burgers, and especially the dreaded and much litigated anus burgers. You deserve a break today, my friends. I'm Ray Serebrin, and that was Stories from the Midlife Crisis Dance Party. We invite you to tune in every Thursday at 3 p.m. for more frivolity, absurdity, and melody. Thanks so much for listening.